Maria started her career as an interpreter and translator over 40 years ago. Of Italian origin, she spent over 50 years in the UK, and during this episode of Job Tales, she talks about her specific work as interpreter in the UK court. Maria is still working and she is over 80 years old. Career has no age and passion neither. Maria, what a pleasure to have you on my podcast. You have done a full career and you are still working as an interpreter, right?
Yes, and translator.
And translator. What does your job entail?
Well, interpreting is mostly in court. In court, could be the civil court or the crown court, depends. If it's, we're talking about crime or talking about civil matters.
Okay, so because you're working together with the police department.
That's right, yes. Because then the NRPSI, which is the National Register for Public Services, this one I obtained after a course that I did in 2000, although already I was working with different agencies that booked me to go because I had the Institute of Linguist diploma as well. So, you get called out, sometimes directly by the courts and sometimes through the agencies. The agency will book you and you go. Generally speaking, you don't know much about what's going on. Sometimes they do inform you of the case, what the case is like, who's the defendant and who's the counterpart. But generally speaking, they don't. So you turn up prompt, dressed correctly because we have a dress code, which you have to observe, obviously. And of course, an interpreter will take the interpreter's oath, which is to swear that whatever you will translate, it will be the truth. And also, according to your skill and understanding, you will do your things, properly. So, there is a specific formula. I don't read one because in different courts, somehow, for some reason, I don't know, they change it.
Okay. And every time you need to proclaim that oath.
Oh, absolutely, yes. Because I, obviously, being a Christian, I will swear on the Bible, while other people, if they're not, they can, affirm what is called affirm on their word, that what they say, Or if you have somebody with a different religion, they will use their own text, Islam and other things, in other religions. So after that, it could be a jury, it could be a judge, or it could be the magistrates. The magistrates are not empowered to deal with important cases when talking about crime, bad crime, if you like, but just, other things such as the fine that you've been given. They are limited, I'm saying. They're limited. Not like a judge, a proper judge. And sometimes if the case is very, very important, it'll be a jury as well.
Okay. And how does it work? Like the person will start talking and then they will stop and you interpret, or is it a simultaneous interpretation?
No, it's consecutive. It's consecutive. Yes, it's always consecutive in court. The person, obviously, either the CPS, the person who deals with the accused person, will ask certain questions, which I will translate to the person, get the answer, and produce it, give it to the lawyer, the solicitor. Generally speaking, they are barristers, which are top solicitors, if you like. The solicitor for a case, for a defendant, will prepare all the paperwork, then the barrister, the legal system in England works like this, and the barrister will spoke in court and defend you, and that's it. And so, you know.
When did you decide to get into this line of work? You were talking about 2000.
Well, 2000, it's much later. It's because I wanted to be on the National Register, which is, if you need me, for instance, if someone needs a translator or an interpreter, we'll go on the National Register and we'll see my name and see the language that I interpret in, from and to and everything, and will contact me. But I had been in the, if you like, in the business since very early, even though I had, you know, knowledge of English, but and knowledge of Italian. I've got my teacher's diploma in Italy and 2 years at university in Milan. But then I wanted to be on the National Register, which costs you, by the way. And I did a course in which I started in 2000. So it's 22 years with the NRPSI.
NRPSI, okay. And is this, did you pick this profession or did the profession pick you? How did it happen?
Well, I did enjoy it a lot, and I was quite, I was very interested in both languages, as it goes, you know. And I just thought it was, would be very interesting, you know, because it's not just little translations of someone sending a letter to the family abroad or something, you know, something a bit more meaty, if you like. So you have to pay, of course, for the course, which was quite expensive. And that's why at my age, I still work, because I recently been to a job in Liverpool, an assignment, and one in Carlisle, which is almost Scotland. I went by train. And you know, because there aren't many young people who don't study or don't want to take exams. And maybe it is expensive, but sometimes they do help you if you have difficulty, you know, financial difficulties. But it is, you have to pay like everything else. But in the end, if you get your diploma, then that's it. Then you're on your way. But I've always liked translating and interpreting, yes.
And before getting the diploma, could you translate?
Yes, I still could do it because I did other exams previous to the NRPSI with the Institute of Linguists, which is now Chartered Institute of Linguists, which has been founded, I think, in 1905, something quite early, where people could go and, you know, study and do their courses. Then I took my exams and things went well. I was quite pleased, obviously. And then after, I got my NRPSI, which I'm very proud of. Every year, you've got to renew it, by the way. If any young person who intends to, you know, has command of both languages in which they intend to work, you know, to pay yearly. So that you renew it and you are sure to be kept on the National Register.
What is the difference between interpreter and translator?
Well, a translator really can do work at home, say, on a computer. You get a text to translate or certificates, anything. Now that you can scan things, you can send them straight back. Or you know, quite important documents as well. All sorts, actually, you know. For instance, divorce papers, birth certificate, death certificates, all sorts of things that people who obviously need someone qualified to translate, because they have perhaps, in my case, take it to Italy so that they can confirm that it's been done professionally, if you like.
Okay, so that's what when you need like a sworn translator, is that right?
Yes, indeed. But if it's something that has to do with, for instance, properties and stuff like that, then I have to go and swear on at a notary. Notaries are not as common as they are in Italy, for instance, but he'll be the one who makes me swear on the Bible that the translation is correct and everything is done. And he takes my word, but he also puts a stamp on it, if you like.
Yeah, okay.
Which makes it official.
Can we disclose your age?
Yes, you can. 82.
82. Wow. You know, at your age, usually people are retired, enjoying life.
Yes, because you see, especially translating, you're at home, you do your work. I've done some at long distance interpreting for solicitors who had clients who had accidents and they had to be assisted. So we had three-way conferences and stuff like that, which is quite good, actually. You know, being at home, you don't have to get out or, you know.
So now it's been over 20 years that you've been doing this job, but then you were basically 60 when you started.
Yes, but even earlier than that, at least 40 years.
40 years. Ah, wow. Okay.
I would say, if not a little bit. But, you know, I read about once, if I may say this briefly, there was a very, unfortunately, I've forgotten the name of this wonderful interpreter, translator. She was from Tuscany, and she was interviewed on Italian television a long, long time ago. That's why I stayed in my memory. At the time, she was, you know, getting on a bit, to say it gently. And she said, because if you are, obviously, your brain still working, that is understood, isn't it?
Yeah.
Ça va sans dire. But, you know, you've gained so much experience, so much information and all that, which is better even than
with age.
A young one, yes, with age. Yes, that's right.
You're right.
So I wish I could remember the name of that interpreter. She put it very clearly, and it's absolutely true, because you gain more confidence and, you know, with the experience you've gathered over the years, you know, how to conduct yourself. And, you know, you have to be very careful because there's a code of conduct. Sometimes in the cell, if I go and see a prisoner with a solicitor and they ask questions because you speak their language and they think you can be helpful, but you're not allowed to express any opinions whatsoever or give advice of any kind, obviously. Well, this is the rules are naturally, you know.
Yeah. So you're basically showing that there's no age limit of this job.
Not really. No, no.
Fantastic. Yeah. And
yes, indeed, indeed. It's just that if I get work at this age, true, I'm on the National Register and the Institute of Linguists as well. I mean, there'll be room for some young people to take on this this profession.
Profession, yeah. Like they can do it full-time. As a full-time job. Mm-hmm.
Yes, yes. And, you know, you register with some agencies. Of course, they want to know also that you are proficient and, you know, you do your job well. But doesn't seem to be many. I don't know why.
And what do you need to do to start? Because, for instance, if you take your example, how did you get your first job as a translator or an interpreter in either way?
Well, the translator, you know, because I was on the National Register, but also because I was with the agencies before the NRPSI. So translations would just, they just send you an email. Would you be available for such and such date, such and such time and everything? Yes. But for the interpreting, often it's the court that calls you because they rely, well, they have to rely on the agencies too, but also they rely on the NRPSI mostly. So I just got cracking and got my diplomas so that I could be fully fledged, you know, interpreter and translator, yes.
What is the skill that you would say is priority skill for this this job?
Obviously, you must have confidence in both languages. Yes, occasionally you might have a moment of distraction, I don't know how to put it really, which is has got to be corrected pretty quickly, especially if you're in front of a judge. There's been episodes of unqualified interpreters where this is a true case. The judge has had to suspend the hearing because the interpreter didn't understand what he was talking about, and he couldn't, I think it was a he couldn't translate to the accused person correctly, so he had to suspend the hearing, and that was he was furious, because you can imagine how much it cost to the taxpayers and waste of time, and to organize a court like that,
So yeah, knowing the language is very important. Is there something about soft skills that are important as well? What are your, for instance, what do you think are your strengths in this job?
Well, I would say this, both the knowledge of the languages, particularly in my case, maybe I'm a little bit of an exception. I'm not trying to blow my trumpet. I'm saying it because I lived here so long that I was not interested in English. I was obsessed. My maternal grandmother was English. I never knew her, of course. But and so the passion that I had, that always fueled my interest. And also, as far as my mother tongue, which is Italian, I've always been interested also to know some dialects a little bit, so that there were some people perhaps who couldn't express themselves correctly in Italian, but I could get the gist of things, even because sometimes you're asked if you are not quite competent, because it's not expected of you, but do you have a certain knowledge as well of the, regional accent in general,
Yeah. And have you done something else before becoming an interpreter, like before your 40s?
Well, I had a family, of course. Did a lot of cooking, as you can imagine. Well, the interest, I read a lot, and I found, certain writers very interesting, because the English was so fluid, so beautiful to read, and and watch the telly as well, which can be informative, can be boring at times, but can be also informative. But other things, personally, I like collectibles. I don't want to say antiques, because antiques is an umbrella word, but collectibles, Victorian. So I got a little knowledge with regards to collectibles, Victorian and Edwardian, that period, and past as well, some of the 50s and 60s. Now they're becoming a bit more, yes.
And so I'm thinking now, if there's someone your age or close to your age who is listening to this podcast and says, oh, maybe I could start doing something, do you think it would be easy for someone, in their 70s, they would like to, give something back and work and feel active to start translating? Maybe they know a second language. Do you think that is viable, according to your experience, especially because you need to also deal with computers and it's not necessarily something that older people know?
First of all, I would certainly recommend that the person who intends to do this to inform themselves, to find out from, the NRPSI, for instance, how to go about to join and do courses. And because it is important, if your aim is to obtain a diploma, to make sure that that will suffice for the agencies, particularly the police and the courts, that you are a trained interpreter or translator, to start really at the bottom of the ladder, as it were, because you need to do the first steps. You might be very good, but it has to be approved by the experts that you are, in fact. Last time, for instance, I had to check an exam. It wasn't an interview like this one live. I had all the papers and I could hear over the computer this young man who wanted to do interpreting, and he was given different text to do in certain ways and the other, and I was qualified enough to give him you know, the points that he needed. Yes, you can't be too strict. It's advisable to, you know, be, but you can't obviously overlook certain things which are important and they're not being understood correctly. That you can't do. Even, you know, I don't know the person. I only do it for the Oxford Institute of Languages and everything, you know. Sometimes Cambridge as well. If there's someone who wants to do Italian, of course. Anybody really who's interested could, in England, of course, I'm talking about whatever language, yes, yes.
Well, languages are sought after, you know, Italian being an important one for interpreting.
European languages, yes, because we've had a lot of Italian workers, people coming over. And I'd like to say that, and I often say it, that not all Italians are criminals. Olivia, they're also victims of crime and, of course, witnesses of crime. So, you know, you still have to go to court like that, you know, not as an accused person, you know what I mean? Yes. So really to start from the beginning, make all the inquiries you can, see what courses there are in your area, you know, just get moving.
Go for it. Yeah.
Yeah, beautiful. Go for it. Absolutely. Yes, head on.
Maria, it's been such an inspiring interview. Thank you so much for being
Thank
on
you.
My podcast.
It was enjoyable. It was quite enjoyable, yes.
If you like languages, translator or interpreter may be a professional path for you. If you feel you're too old for this job, think again and take inspiration from Maria. To share your own experience, write me at jobtalespodcast@gmail.com.